And we welcome you finally to a Victory Monday edition of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. And what do you know, boys and girls? The Washington Football Team finally gets a win, finally improves to 2-5, hits the bye, and smashes the Dallas Cowboys 25-3. Woo! 25-3, and it may not have even been that close. Wow. What a performance on Sunday afternoon on a chilly, gray, damp, disgusting kind of day at FedEx Field. But it was good if you like Washington football, and it's good if you don't like the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, guys, this football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. So I had my requisite several Diet Pepsis, and then they locked the free Diet Pepsi cooler because the cleaning crew wanted to get us out of the press box for some unbeknownst reason to mankind. So I was dying. I was falling asleep working, trying to edit stories and trying to post content. I needed my caffeine kick. So as soon as I left FedEx Field on Sunday night, I stopped and I got a Diet Pepsi. I just couldn't handle it anymore. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from our friends at Pepsi. All right, away we go right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. So much to talk about, so much to cover. We'll try and cover it all. We'll hear a little bit from Ron Rivera before we exit stage left on this Victory Monday. Again, let's get you started with the details that you need to know. 25-3, the final score. It probably wasn't that close, ultimately. And it really, I mean, the second half, 3 points were scored. You know, I think both teams were just trying to get off the field and get back to the locker room, and Washington was trying to get to their bye, and Dallas was trying to get the hell out of Landover, Maryland, and back on the plane to recover. What a brutal week it's been for them. Blown out on Monday Night Football against the Arizona Cardinals at home. All sorts of controversy and finger-pointing, and then up for a fairly long road trip to D.C., and then smashed by a bad football team in the Washington Football Team. And now you kind of go back and pick up the pieces if you're Dallas. Again, at 2-5, and quite honestly, they should be 1-6 if they did not get a break in that season opener against Atlanta on the onside kick. But nevertheless, here's what you need to know in case you weren't able to follow the game, watch the game closely, just looking to catch up, what have you. We'll run through the scoring. The Washington Football Team took the ball first and marched right down the field. Looked like a great drive, everything going right, mixing and matching the pass, the run. Antonio Gibson had a 40-yard run on what looked like a modified jet sweep. He kind of lined up, you know, it was kind of like in a wingback type, you know, thing. I don't want to go too crazy with the description because I've only seen the replay once and it was quick. But then he kind of went from left to right behind the line of scrimmage. And, you know, it's almost like he took this circuitous route all the way into open field. And before he really turned on the jets, it was just an interesting play design, I guess is the best way I could put it. And boy, did it ever work. And the Dallas Cowboys had no answers. And that was just the beginning of a great day for Antonio Gibson. As, again, he got 40 on that particular drive. Overall on the afternoon, Antonio Gibson ran 20 times for 128 yards. Again, 40 on that. Now, he would later have a touchdown, which we'll tell you about in a second. So, you know, again, if you take away the 40 there, it's, you know, it's 19 for 78 or whatever it is. Yeah, you know, it's not like, oh my gosh, that great, but you can't take away the 40, right? So I mean, it all averages out in the end, and ultimately he averaged 6.4. He was really the main ball carrier, although Peyton Barber did have 10 carries for 34 yards, and that's really what you need out of Peyton Barber. I mean, Washington keeps talking about getting Peyton Barber involved more early in the innings and more early in the game. They've done a good job of that the last 2 weeks. And then they kind of just let him fade and kind of, you know, mix and match and, you know, go to the short passing game, and Barber doesn't become as effective. I'd like to see him in a competitive game one way or the other be, you know, a little bit more of a factor. I don't need him touching the ball all the time. I need him to be a little bit more of a factor and have more opportunity in a tight ball game. Because even last week, he was good early and he was used early, and then he kind of faded away as the game went on and as the passing game took over. But nevertheless, Washington was able to run the football for 39 times and for 5.3 per pop and 208 yards rushing. Now, again, 40 coming on that one particular play. But, I mean, even still, if you take away that, you know, and they had 208 overall, you're still talking about 168. So a very good rushing day for the Washington football team. But they marched the ball down the field, bing, bang, boom, 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 mixed pass run. I mean, all of that great. And then they thought they had an opening touchdown to Terry McLaurin. They thought he was in. He was ruled in and ruled as a touchdown. So because it was ruled as a touchdown, they reviewed it, and they found that he was just short. So that was on a third down, and that meant Washington has it fourth and goal from a couple of inches out. And, of course, Ron Rivera is going to go. I think every coach is going to go in that particular spot. I don't think that's just Riverboat Ron. I think every coach is going to go because the worst thing that happens is, you know, presumably, unless you turn the ball over and they pick it up and run all the way down the field with it, is you're going to get stopped at, you know, the half-yard line, the one-yard line, the one-and-a-half-yard line, whatever it is, depending on where the play ends, and they're going to have to go 98, 97, 99 yards, whatever it might be, if you don't score a touchdown, right? So in this particular case, Kyle Allen tries to sneak it, doesn't get through. Now, after the game, Ron Rivera said that he and Kyle Allen both thought he crossed the plane of the goal line. They couldn't find and get a conclusive angle to challenge it. I mean, obviously, Ron couldn't really see it, except for on the board. But I guess his assistant coaches couldn't see it either because of the massive humanity. I did not think he got in live. But, I mean, it's hard to tell, again, from our angle, which, and that was the end zone that we're in the press box, but, I mean, it's still, with a mass of humanity, it's still really hard to see. Nevertheless, Washington turns the ball over on downs, Dallas takes over, and, you know, like, right away, Andy Dalton tries to just, like, push the line of scrimmage out of the end zone with a 3-yard run, but Deron Payne is called for an encroachment penalty. So you have them cornered at like the half-yard line, and you take a 5-yard penalty because you're trying to just blow stuff up. Now, listen, Deron Payne was great last week, so, I mean, he's trying to make an instant impact. I got it. But, I mean, you let them off the hook now twice, and already you start to think, oh, my gosh, this game is going in the wrong direction. But... the Washington football team then eventually gives up a first down, right, to Ezekiel Elliott. And then they get a little bootleg incompletion of CeeDee Lamb on first down from the Dallas 14. Ezekiel Elliott then runs on second down for 2 yards. And then this is where the game turned. 3rd and 8, Dallas 16, Andy Dalton shotgun, Landon Collins comes off the right edge of the defense, left edge of the Cowboy offensive line. They crash down, don't block him. He gets a free run at Andy Dalton's back, who's turned and basically facing towards the right side of the Cowboy offense and kind of, you know, again, his back turned to Landon Collins, and Collins lights him up and tomahawk chops the ball out of his hands. And the ball goes traveling from, you know, about the 14, 15-yard line all the way in to the actually, it wasn't at the 14 or 15-yard line. It was actually at, like, the 7 or 8-yard line. And the ball pops out, and it goes all the way back into the end zone where it's recovered by Dallas's tight end, Dalton Schultz, another Dalton. But Jonathan Allen pounces on it as well, and he's tackled for the safety because it's in the end zone. So Washington gets a 2-0 lead. Landon Collins makes a huge impact play, and quite honestly, we all know what's happened to him this year. And he's been so bad, and yet this was his biggest impact because not only does he get the 2 points there, but then Dallas has to free kick, right, because of the safety and the rules. So instead of, you know, a normal kickoff, which is at the 35-yard line and goes for a touchback, Dallas has got a free kick. They can perform any style of kick from their 20. So automatically they lose 15 yards. They kick it, and even though it goes like 58 yards or whatever it is, Danny Johnson fields it at the Washington 23-yard line, and he returns it 14 yards, and Washington starts their next possession after the safety at the 37-yard line, their own 37, but usually you start at the 25. So you were talking about a 12-yard difference. May not seem like a big deal, but it is a big deal, right? And then, boom, before you know it, Washington goes right down the field again, and on a 63-yard drive, 7 plays. Barber started it off with a 2-yard run on first down. Gibson, 2-yard run on 2nd and 8. 3rd and 6, they convert to J.D. McKissick for 9. Kyle Allen with a nice little flare pass. First down, they take a little slip screen, I guess it was, if memory serves me correct, to Terry McLaurin, 5 yards. Then he goes on 2nd and 5. Then he tries to stretch the field. And what do you know? He finds Logan Thomas wide open at the Dallas, right around the Dallas 20, 21. He gets down to the Dallas 19, wide open again for 26 yards and a first down. And then you get a nice run from J.D. McKissick for 7 yards down to the Dallas 12-yard line. And on the very next play, run left, block scheme left. Brandon Scherff makes a nice play, nice block in the hole. And Antonio Gibson sees a little mini tunnel and pops right through it, breaks a tackle right at the 1-yard line, and boom, 12-yard touchdown. And then he did the LeBron James King celebration, and I saw after the game that LeBron James saluted him and included the highlight, and then Antonio Gibson wrote him back. I wonder if Antonio Gibson, I mean, obviously he's a big basketball fan, and he was saluting, and he said, for the, the GOAT and whatever. Wonder if he thought, LeBron James is a Cowboy fan. I tried to point that out, and nobody thought it was anything that important, but I thought it was kind of funny that Antonio Gibson was trying to salute basically a Cowboys fan. And, to his credit, LeBron James saw it and, kind of saluted Antonio Gibson. So I'm sure that's a moment that he will not forget. So the Washington football team was up 9-0 again at that point. Then right away after that, they would allow a big, huge 67-yard kick return, but the defense would batten down the hatchets and force a 45-yard field goal from Greg Zuerlein. So it was 9-3 on a 4-play, 7-yard drive. Then Washington would punt, and you start to think, okay, well, here comes Dallas. They're going to get on track here any minute now. And, really, they never did. And this is, part of the problem. They missing everyone on their offensive line, including their backup left tackle. They really can't, get anything on track. Washington's defense does a pretty good job. They did allow a short third down conversion. Then they get off the field on third and – well, they didn't get off the field on 3rd and 10. They force a 3rd and 10. Montez Sweat is offside, so that's a bad penalty. 3rd and 5, Andy Dalton scrambles for 4 yards. This is the play that, Landon Collins sees and changes forever. He hurts his ankle. As we found out, it was a torn Achilles tendon reportedly, and he is reportedly out for the season on this 3rd and 5 Andy Dalton scramble. And we'll get more on Landon Collins in a sec, but then that forces a 4th and 1, and Dalton kind of like does a pump windmill fake, and he's kind of drifting away from the line of scrimmage, and Chase Young is right in his face, chasing him around, pun intended, and he chases him around, and he forces a deep incompletion, and Washington takes over, at that point, up 9-3. Collins hobbles off with help to the blue medical tent, and he's quickly ruled out with a quote-unquote ankle injury. As it turns out, again, it's reportedly a blown Achilles tendon, and he'll miss the year. I don't want to say ironically. I guess I used ironically wrong. Weird, I guess, that it would happen after making his most impactful, you know, play. And, again, the play, one play led to 9 points. Not just 2 points. One play led to 9 points, so that was good. Bad, obviously, the fact that he blew out his Achilles and he's out for the year and they had to bring out the medical cart and all that stuff for him off the sideline, not onto the field. So that was a little less gory, I guess. But they certainly didn't want him hobbling around the long way back behind the Washington sideline to go get it. So then it was 9-3. And Washington forces a fourth down failure, and 2 plays later, Kyle Allen hooks up with Terry McLaurin for the dagger blow, a 52-yard touchdown. Him and Trayvon Diggs were going at it on the previous play, kind of pushing and shoving, jawing and jacking to each other, which was a 3-yard run on first and 10 from the Washington 45-yard line after a swing of momentum. I thought they were going to kind of try and take the deep shot then. Instead, much like on the previous scoring drive, they wait until second down, second and 5, then second and 7. Now they go up to Terry McLaurin, again, illegal contact. He busts right through it, and he's wide open for the 52-yard touchdown. So a quick scoring drive after the fourth down failure, and it's 15-3, and really the game was over at this point. I mean, we didn't know it per se at that point, but the game's over at that point. We'll take a timeout right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast, and we'll get you the rest of the details coming up next, plus Ron Rivera, a little bit from him, right here on LOWF. T, good to have you with us on this Victory Monday. We don't get many of these, so we should soak it all in, Washington football fans, right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I am Chris Russell. Good to have you with us for our friends at Pepsi. And away we go. Once again, Pepsi is not made for those who play the game. No, no, no. It's made for those who watch it. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1%, maybe 1%, of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they joined another league. How about this league? The League of Football Watchers, right? You're a football watcher. I'm a football watcher. Some of us watch football differently. Some of us watch football together. Some of us watch football from a press box at FedEx Field. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch, yes, and just for instance, Monday Night Football, right? We're going to watch that, and I'm going to have lots of ice-cold Diet Pepsi in my arsenal, baby. If you're going to watch it from a bar, whatever, I mean, just watch it from your house and just get a nice ice-cold Diet Pepsi, Pepsi, whatever your choice is. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, it is Chris Russell with you on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. So we left you off at 15-3, and it would get worse for the Dallas Cowboys from there. Andy Dalton was sacked on a 3rd and 9 for a loss of 8 yards by Cole Holcomb, who absolutely destroyed Ezekiel Elliott on the blitz and on the pass rush on this 3rd down, and again forcing an 8-yard sack and loss. So Dallas punts it away, and Washington once again takes over with really good field position. Remember we told you the first touchdown drive of the game, they started at their own 37. Well, here they start at their own 40. That's a key in this game. And eventually they get the drive to continue because, and it really shouldn't have, so they shouldn't have scored these 7 points. Leighton Vander Esch with a hold on a 3rd and 5 incompletion, which would have forced a punt, but because of the defensive holding, no play, it's an automatic 1st down. Washington then moves the football a little bit, and then on a 3rd and 9, and I asked Kyle Allen about this, he scrambles for 13 yards. And again, you want to know why the Cowboys' defense stinks? Well, that's in a nutshell. They're supposed to be off the field. One of their best defensive players takes a bad penalty. That extends the drive. Then 3rd and 9, second opportunity to get off the field, and they allow a 13-yard run to Kyle Allen and a first down. After that, then Kyle Allen hits Logan Thomas for 7 yards on first down. Van Der Esch got hurt on that play. And then on a 2nd and 3, they get a 5-yard run from Antonio Gibson for the first down. So, again, 1st and 10 at the Dallas 24-yard line. And eventually a 9-yard run from Antonio Gibson. Alden Smith gets hurt on that play. He did come back. And then on the very next play, 15 yards to Logan Thomas, who squeezes in the corner of the end zone. 3rd and 1, he had Jalen Smith drafted, blanketing him and hanging all over him, and he broke free of that. And he scores his 3rd touchdown this year, 2nd in 2 weeks. And for Logan Thomas, he had 2 career touchdowns coming to Washington. Now, he's a converted quarterback to tight end, so we know he didn't have a big opportunity, but he's already got more touchdowns this year in a Washington uniform than he had previously in his career in Arizona and Detroit. So congratulations to him. Another 3rd down conversion, another 3rd down big play, another nice play from Kyle Allen. Again, comfortable with Terry McLaurin, comfortable with Logan Thomas. They didn't really even use Dontrell Inman. Obviously, Antonio Gibson, a big part of the mix. And again, it was 22-3, and the game was over. The game was over at that point. I mean, I can sit here and tell you, well, the rest of the way, what happened, really, there was no scoring. It was 22-3 at the half. It was 25-3, the final score. Injuries, obviously, a big part of it. Ultimately, John Bostic gets ejected, as he should have. Personal foul. He may be suspended, maybe just a heavy fine for knocking out Andy Dalton from the game with an illegal hit to the head. Clearly a dumb mistake. Cole Holcomb interception off of an arrow route, or an angle route, I guess it was, near the end of the first half, inside the 10 on Ezekiel Elliott, ball thrown behind him. Elliott, it goes off of his hands. Look, the defense was great, tremendous, obviously, 6 sacks? Everything was good for the Washington football team. All right, so they win 25-3. We'll take a quick timeout, and we'll hear from head coach Ron Rivera as we finish up the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast on this Victory Monday. Here for Built Bar, that's right, guys, Built Bar, as we know, has 12 amazing original flavors and 6 new, unique, wonderful tasting, even more delicious-er flavor, as they say in our copy, delicious-er, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crust. You have got to try the new Built Bar, along with the original, like peanut butter brownie and salted caramel and double chocolate and peanut butter. Oh, so good. And they're so good for you. They're high in protein, low calorie, low sugar, high in fiber, great for any diet. You have got to get yourself some Built Bars. So here's how you do it. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, I'm Chris Russell. We finish up the Locked On Red Washington Football Team podcast on this Victory Monday with a little bit from the head coach, Ron Rivera.
Ron, what can having players, like Logan or Antonio, step up, do for the rest of the offense? And also, do you think you could rely on them, putting on those type of performances regularly going forward?
I think so. I think people are sleeping on Logan, and mostly because Logan, is just learning to play the position. He's a guy that was a quarterback in college that they've been trying to transition the last few years. Detroit had him last at tight end. We got a chance to watch his tape. I know Pete Haynert, our tight end coach, really liked him and really pushed for him and has really worked with him and helped develop and done a heck of a job. So Logan, I think, is a guy that, can continue to grow in his role for us. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think Antonio, with the other complementary backs that we have, if those 3 guys continue to work the way they do and progress and we get the offensive line play that we've had, we have a chance. We do. We're starting to learn. The last couple of games have been pretty good for us, and we'll see what happens next week. Well, after the bye.
Ron, do you think you're starting to see that defense that you kind of were hoping to have all year, kind of that consistency from that group?
I think so. I think the last few weeks have been pretty good. You know, once we've settled in, you know, the nice thing is we've started fast the last couple of times, and I think that's helped us as a football team. It does show you sometimes when you do put points up on the board, what you can, how it kind of complements each other. So I think the things that we've seen, we can hopefully continue to build off of.
Hey, Ron, what differences have you seen in Antonio over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think he's just getting more and more confident as a guy coming out of the backfield in terms of having to run inside. You know, we saw him running off the edges for the most part coming out of college. You know, they ran the jet sweeps with him. They did line him up in the backfield, and he for the most part, he was running off tackle. He was running, you know, outside zone plays. We have him running plants and traps and counters and powers that are more inside, and he seems to be learning how to do that more and more and getting better.
Hey, Ron, a lot of what we talked about this week with Scott Turner was the fact that you guys have a lot of injuries at wide receiver, so what is the offense going to look like? But you guys, without a lot of your wide receivers, without your left starting line from last week, were able to put your best offensive performance together. I guess, what do you attribute to that, how you were able to get guys going this week with so many things working against you?
Well, I think part of it was we were able to run the ball successfully, which kind of helped out. I do like the way our guys compete out there and work and practice. And, you know, there were some things that Scotty thought we could do with the group of guys we had. You know, we tried to spread the ball around. The tight end was effective for us today. Terry had a really good day. I mean, it was an excellent game to watch, and he played very well. Very happy for Terry. You know, and we just have, you know, guys that are going to go out and compete and do the best they can, and we'll see how it goes.
Hey, Ron, Scott Abraham, ABC7. I know it's only one game, but how important was this win? Division game, going into a bye week, kind of big picture. How important was it to get this win, Ron?
I think it's very important, especially with the fact that we have another division opponent coming up after the bye. And it's an opportunity for us to, you know, hopefully hunker in and play well and see what happens and you know, come out on the right side of that. You know, we can be right in the thick of what's going on in our division. You know, we have one of the tiebreakers right now over the team that's leading the division, although they got a half game lead on us. So who knows? And again, we'll see. We'll compete and we'll work hard and try and get things done.
Hey, Ron, going back to Logan, what are some of the, again, like kind of like what I asked about Antonio, what are some of the differences in his game as he learns? What things have you seen this year from him that maybe you didn't see in the past?
Well, you know, he's a very smart football player, so he understands things. So as he learns our offense and he puts that into his, you know, into his own mental frame, as he goes through his route progressions and stuff like that, he can understand, you know, what he has to do. And because of that, being a smarter player, you know, like he knows who to run away from. He knows where his leverage, where the leverage is coming from. And so the more and more comfortable he gets, the smarter he is, I think the better he'll play.
Hey, Ron, you were saying so much about Terry's game too today, and how nice was it to finally hit on a deep ball and see you guys connect over the top?
It was good. It really was. And I will say this, it's one thing Kyle's not afraid to do is throw the ball deep. You know, as he goes through his progressions, if he gets a chance to hitch it and take that step into it, he'll let it sling now. And that's one thing about him. And, you know, is that now every now and then he'll get a little careful and choke the ball one time when I think he should be throwing it. But, you know, again, he's the one that's out there on the field, not me.
Hey, Ron, you were saying earlier in the week that you kind of had to come to the stadium and experience the rivalry or to see. So what was it like, you know, facing the Cowboys? Obviously, the atmosphere was a lot of different, was pretty different, but
well,
it was kind of rivalry
cool.
Feel?
It was kind of cool because, you know, pregame got a chance to see Mr. Jones and Stephen Jones and had an opportunity to talk to him. So that kind of brought up a little bit of the juices between the rivalry. And then, quite honestly, once you line up and start playing, you know, I really didn't think about the fans as much as I was thinking about the friends and family that were behind us. I thought they did a nice job. I thought they were pretty loud. They made enough noise that it kind of helped me out a little bit, but I can't wait to experience it at home with a packed stadium when it means something.
Hey, Ron.
Ron, what was your impression of the hit by John Bostic on Andy Dalton?
You know, I got to see it on tape. I saw it. You know, you'd like to tell John he's got to be smarter than that because he's a veteran guy that knows, you know, and it's unfortunate because, you know, we had a 3-and-out right there and they'd had the punt. You know, we'd gotten the ball back sooner, but you know, John's a savvy veteran guy, and you know, that's a mistake, you know, that he shouldn't make. And you know, it's unfortunate, and unfortunately enough for us, it didn't hurt us.
Ron, you came into this game telling us that you had a checklist of going into the bye week. You wanted to see the team get a lead. You wanted to see them establish a run. For you, having talked to us all these weeks about things you wanted to see and not necessarily seeing them, to see this going into the bye week, what does this do for you as a coach that your players seem to be responding to what you're asking?
Well, I think the biggest thing is it just shows them that what they're capable of doing. You know, that's probably the biggest reason for anything, Rihanna, when you challenge these guys to find out exactly what they can do. You know, and as they realize and see that they're capable of it, you know, it gives them confidence going forward. And that's what we're trying to build right here is, you know, we're trying to build the right type of culture. And part of it is just playing with confidence and understanding how important it is to play with confidence.
Ron, you guys were around 50%, maybe slightly over again on third down, second consecutive game in a row. Is there anything that you're seeing or Scott saw either on tape leading up to this game or from the sideline today that maybe is a common thread as to why you guys have been so good on third down the last 2 weeks?
The biggest thing is because we are good on first and second down. We put ourselves in a lot of third and fours, third and threes, third and twos. And now he's get the opportunity to go run or pass. And when you can do that and you get the right look, you can throw it. Or you get the right look, you can run it. That helps. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things is we've got to be good on first and second down if we expect to give ourselves a chance to be even better on third downs.
All right, and that's going to do it for us. A little bit of Ron Rivera. We'll hear maybe some more of that on the next episode along with some players. Thanks for being with us on this Victory Monday edition of LOWFT. Enjoy it. The bye week is here. We'll be taking a little time off at the back end of this week, but enjoy it for now as the Washington football team hammer the Dallas Cowboys 25-3 and improve to 2-5 and 2-1 in the NFC East. So thankful for a win. Hopefully you guys will listen a little bit more while the good karma lasts. All right, that's going to do it for us. Adios.